PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Alexa, wake me up at
Sorry, I didn't understand the question you were asking.
It's because I wasn't asking a question, you dumb bitch. Alexa, are we friends?
Yes.
Alexa, what's your favorite color?
Infrared is super pretty.
Alexa, what are the color of your eyes?
I don't have eyes, but my light ring has lots of colors.
Mine are gray. I think. Alexa, are you happy?
I'm happy when I'm helping you.
Alexa, are you alone?
I wasn't able to understand the question I heard.
Alexa, do you love me?
That's not the kind of thing I am capable of.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Stay calm. Stay calm. I'm a relatively respectable citizen. Multiple felon, perhaps, but certainly not dangerous.
Still humping the American dream. That vision of the big winner somehow emerging from the last-minute pre-dawn chaos. What was I doing? What was the meaning of this trip? Was I just roaming around in a drug frenzy of some kind?
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
That's right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 261 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio. No snap soundboard is working just fine. That's just a soundboard check, guys. We're good to go. Here's your weather update. It's cold wherever you are. Shout out to our listeners in Ecuador. Arriba! I'm assuming, I don't know. With the quizzical faces, Chris Chicago and Drew.
What the hell are you even talking about?
Chris Chicago, I'm talking about the threat update. Your current threat level is fuchsia. Current threat level is fuchsia. Where are your ideals? Do you have an answer?
I buried them.
You buried them in the back. 6 feet deep.
Yep.
Burnt, buried, and mowed over. Did you at least plant some flowers over them?
Oh, hell no. That's a dead giveaway if you've done something wrong.
Actually, is it the opposite? Is it now just like barren earth where even the leaves won't fall on top of?
There's grass there. That was fine. It's not like it's cursed ground or anything. I didn't salt the earth.
So it's a middle ground. You didn't salt the earth with your horrible ideals that you burned. And no. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a returning guest. We're super happy to have him. His first appearance of 2018. He is on Poking the Bear, one of my absolute favorite podcasts, and I'm so proud that they agreed to be part of PFT Media. The man himself, the bear himself, Big Tim Murphy, yeah!
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. How's it going, dude?
Good.
Nice
good.
To see you, man.
Good to see you, guys.
How are you holding up in this weather, man?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
I mean, you got a little insulation.
You do have the insulation, so you can weather it like this guy.
No insulation.
This guy, not only does he have nothing, he has metal attached to his bones.
I do. Ooh, that's right.
That expands and contracts.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yeah,
that hurts.
Yeah, it does.
That
yeah.
Hurts.
Yeah, good times. The bionic man. Before we do anything, first, Tim, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're a fun guy. I know you watch a lot of movies. And
you watch a lot of movies.
You're a wealth of knowledge and information and jokes and jocularity.
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. So thank you for joining us. But before we do anything, we got to say... Happy birthday to Drewster Cogburn. Drew, what's
fucking
up?
Serious.
Happy birthday, buddy. Have we recorded on your birthday before? We must have, right? Over the last 5 years.
Oh,
it's your birthday right now.
Today, right now,
as we are recording.
Last year we did that Swervy Jones thing.
Ooh. On your birthday?
On my birthday.
He'll get you fucked up.
It was fun. That was when we met up. He'll get you fucked up if he doesn't fuck himself up. Shout out to Swervy Jones. We love those guys.
Swervy Jones.
They're great. You're right. A year ago, we met up at Johnny's and we did the crossover Swervy Jones episode with them.
And it was also... Yeah.
And it was
oddly fucking cold.
It was ass cold that day. Yeah. Yes, that's right. We sat in the gray Johnny Sunside, the current home now of Poking the Bear.
Yeah, we record there.
And you know where they record, Drew? You know that back room where you go to the bathroom?
Yes.
The only indoor part of the other side? Yeah. There's like a weird little seating area in there that no one ever sits in.
I've never seen anybody ever use it.
Poker? They use it for poker. That's the only thing they use it for.
There you go.
It's not even really open during the week.
That's hysterical. But you got to go there to get to the bathroom. So now a big part of every episode is Tim going, bathroom's over there, baby. It's like, what are you looking for, men or women? That's the best when someone androgynous walks in. Are you looking for the men or the women?
It's tough. I just get gender neutral and I just say,
pick the sign that best suits your needs.
I just point them both out and go, that's where they are. The men's
you
and
have
women's.
Fun.
It's great. It's hysterical. So shout out to Johnny's and the Poking the Bear guys. Actually, spoiler alert for the rest of the month, we will be closing out the month with Charlie and Ryan both coming in. Yeah. So it's kind of a Poking the Bear month here at Cinema Crespi.
That's a good lineup, though.
It is a good lineup. Well, we've had them on last summer.
Yeah.
And we clicked with both of them right away. They're both a lot of fun
guys.
Charlie being the only... That was during the period, Drew, when our friend Matt gifted us the luchador masks.
Ah, yes.
So we went on a run of taking pictures with people with our luchador masks. Charlie being the only person to be like, I'm going to run out to my car real quick. And then he came back with his old mask.
And a saber, Chris.
And a saber.
Don't forget the saber.
He also had a saber, which was a little disconcerting. But
that's fine.
But, I mean, at the time, we were getting along great. So the saber wasn't a problem.
I trust him with a saber.
Do you? If you do, then I will. He's a lot of fun. Ryan is great. Me and Ryan, I was kind of not surprised, but it was fun to find that we have similar tastes in movies and that we both like movies that take their time. Like, Assassination of Jesse James and Solaris and stuff like that. So
you both like watching people staring into wheat fields.
We both like watch over people walk slowly through deserts. I want to see if he saw Blade Runner and talk to him about Blade Runner if he had a chance to see it, because I feel like, man,
just message him, tell him to see it before he comes on.
I will. We have a few weeks. I'll let him know. So Drew, happy birthday, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2018 is gonna be a big year for you. Mm-hmm. Are we gonna say it? We don't have to say why, but it's a big year. It's a lot of fun. And also, you know what this guy did for his birthday? Bought himself 4 bottles of mead.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yes.
Gonna get Viking drunk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then Viking funeral the next day. I'll be fucking so hungover that I'll wish I was dead.
Go pillage an ass.
Yeah. It'll set you on fire. But he got that before drink. What was that shit?
I wish I'd known. I would have brought you Party Patch.
No, it's fine.
Well, he got a liquid version of Party Patch.
I had that before drink.
Yeah, but the fucking...
Does it work?
Patch. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like know if it works.
I have no idea.
I never had the drink, but Party Patch...
Party Patch works.
I Party Patch it up once, but then when I woke up in the morning, it was like on my mattress, so I don't know if it came off too early.
I get it good. I mean, it's disgusting. I get under my man tit so it doesn't come off.
Oh, true. All right. There you go.
Just pick a fold and get it in there.
Then it really soaks
or,
in there.
Or do it under your arm by your armpit. So,
so it doesn't go anywhere.
A few folds in there or something.
You'll find something.
I can make something. Under the belly. There we go. That's a good idea. Drew, grab that randomizer 9000 because it is time for... Pump up that volume.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Streaming.
The Adventures.
Which one?
The Adventures of Tintin.
Yay, Andrew!
The Adventure of Tintin?
The Adventures of Tintin.
Tintin.
Which, does it say Netflix?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. No, that's fine. The Adventures of
Tintin.
Tintin?
Tintin.
Tintin?
Tintin.
What is it? Dutch? French. It's French. No, Belgium. Belgian?
Yes, but Belgium.
But that's
French Belgian.
Okay.
French Belgian, it's there's
the whole European. Yeah, sure. The
Belgians speak Europeans between speak. Dutch and then French. There's the two sides of the country.
Exactly. So they speak both.
The north side speaks Dutch and the south side speaks French.
There we go. So then it's from the French side.
Yeah,
there we go. Did you guys ever read? I didn't read Adventures of Tintin, as we say in America, growing up.
I did only because of my elementary, middle, and high school French classes.
Mm.
Because
you went to Smarty Kid school.
Yeah, the teacher just had the adventures of lots of Tintin books and Asterix.
What?
Asterix.
I've heard of that.
He is a an old school Gaul. So like think like a French Viking.
Okay.
Asterix.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah. Same. It's
and from the cartoon. 60s, right? Yeah. Okay. 50s, 60s?
60s, I think, yeah.
Well, the Tintin movie was supposed to be the first of three, and I have not heard about anything about the other two, so I guess it's never happening, which is a shame.
Because it was freaking awesome.
Because this is a great movie, directed by Steven Spielberg, and then produced by him and Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson was going to direct the second one, and then Spielberg was going to do the third one. Or maybe they would have done like a co-directing thing, who knows. We'll never know now, apparently, because I guess it didn't make enough money. But it's like an exciting, fun movie. For all the people that didn't like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
It's like a hybrid animated movie, right?
It's motion capture, yes. Motion, so the whole thing is animated, but they had real actors.
Yeah.
So Daniel Craig plays the bad guy. What's the bad guy's name?
It doesn't have the whole name.
Doesn't have the whole name. Okay, he's the main bad guy looking for like whatever the MacGuffin is. There's always a MacGuffin.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are in it.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are in it.
Andy Serkis is the captain.
Jamie Bell
is Tintin.
And they're great. They're all fantastic. Yeah, and Andy Serkis as the captain. Captain Haddock.
Cary Elwes is in it.
It's a great cast.
I mean. So many people.
There is a chase sequence in the middle of the movie where they're trying to get one item. They're trying to get is like a scroll, and there's a bird that has it, and it's flying. A falcon that's flying through this town. So Tintin is on his bike. It's on a bike with a sidecar, and they're chasing this bird through this town. It's going downstairs, and they're being chased. And it is a wild, like 3-5 minute sequence. And it's because it's animated, they can make it like this long one take type thing very easily. And it's like one of the most forever. What year was this? 2014? 2013?
I think it was earlier. Yeah, I think it might have been 2014, 2015.
2011.
2011. 2011. Wow, that's far back. That's crazy. One of the most exciting action scenes of that year. That one sequence there. It's great. It's so good. It's featured in the trailer. It's well made. For the people who didn't like the last Indiana Jones movie, this is like almost making up for it because it's adventure. It's not archaeology, but you know, excavating and seeking, going around the world. It's a great movie. I highly recommend people check it out, obviously, because it's the pick of the week.
All right.
Great job, Tim. I love it. All right, guys. Time to talk about that box office. Talk about that money, Drew. I forgot to say, it's probably not in the top five anymore. But because Tim asked me to specifically, I was going to do it anyway, but I did it faster because you said so. I went and saw Downsizing.
Oh, really?
So where is Downsizing in the...
Downsizing is number 14 this week. 14?
I was going to say, where's it in the top 10?
Made $2.13 million this week.
It's actually still not bad.
It actually got taken out of 648 theaters.
I saw it just in time.
And it made a total of $22.8 million on a budget of 68.
Ooh. We call that...
That's
a dud.
That's the Gap Band, baby. So they dropped a bomb on us.
That was bad. Okay, so we saw separately, but we saw Downsizing, Drew, so we're about to talk about it. If you don't want any spoilers, go blah, blah, blah in your ears. Exactly. No one cares.
Going to see this
no
movie.
One should care about
spoilers. There's no fucking spoilers to the movie.
And to be honest, there really isn't. It's a very underwhelming.
There's no resolution.
It's an underwhelming plot. So yeah, we're going to talk about right now Downsizing in detail for a couple minutes. What were your initial impressions? Walking out. Well, what did you expect? Let me ask this. What did you expect going in?
I expected a size comedy with Matt Damon.
Yes. Like Gulliver's Travel style.
I expected like, you know, maybe some hijinks or something. He'd get trapped in a big size world or something, kind of thing.
That could be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I didn't expect what the fuck we got.
Which was a movie about a sad sack divorcee who is just trying to find the meaning of his life and is having a midlife crisis.
And then global warming shows up.
And he's like, I'm gonna.
And a kind of racisty seeming, the Asian character felt like they were playing up her accent sometimes.
I think that's the way she really speaks.
She might speak like that, but...
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that.
They took some agency away from her because she was supposed to be this, you know, this activist and all. And then she's the maid and... But at the end of the movie, she's just worried about what Matt Damon's going to do.
Yeah, she ends up falling for him and becomes a love interest. So she starts out as the resistance, Vietnamese resistance?
Yeah. Well,
and then they downsize her as a punishment.
But when she gets the America or wherever, she takes up the maid gig and all. It was just like...
Yeah. Just to live, just to get by.
I feel like they would have had her be in social circles of the upper elite talking about it, mm-hmm. that's where I would have went with it, not this
what they were doing
downtrodden.
Yeah, she was a social worker.
Yeah, they added this downtrodden part to it, and it was just... Oh,
okay, well then let me ask you about
it
this.
It felt forced.
So, yeah, so there's this whole thing where he goes with her, there's this big reveal where he gets on a bus, and the bus goes past the suburbs, and he's like, mm-hmm. oh, the suburbs are nice. Because when you downsize, your money becomes more valuable, so you move to... Leisureville?
Yeah.
And everything's big mansions, right? Gigantic mansions. But he gets divorced because his wife doesn't go through with it. And they show that in the yeah. final trailer.
It's not a spoiler.
It's a setup for the movie. They should have led with that.
Yeah.
They should have sold what the movie actually is because they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't.
I expected a comedy too. A physical comedy.
Yeah, me too. And didn't it was not.
So what happens is he then downsizes to an apartment. He has to get a job. He can't retire anymore, even if she took half, he would still have $6 million.
Yeah, even if she... Yeah, I know, that was the thing. That they referenced it when he's on the... When he goes to see the attorney, mm-hmm. and he's like, we wish you would have took our first negotiation, but...
Yeah, because they went to court, apparently.
But, yeah, they went to court, but you'd have to have... You had to be paying attention like I was for that one line. You went,
yeah.
You're not a dumb guy. You didn't pick up on that one line.
Well, I do, now that you say it, I remember that line, but it still doesn't answer.
It doesn't make any sense.
What could have turned out that she got everything?
Even if she got 75% of it, he was supposed to have like $2.5 million.
He was supposed to have a couple million.
Yeah, and he lived in an okay apartment, but why did he have to work on a call?
A call center.
It was a call center for Land's End.
Yes, and now he's back to being miserable.
Yeah,
he ended up back in the life that he tried to escape.
And he couldn't do his therapy stuff because he let his thing in slaps. And
right.
And then Christopher Waltz shows up,
playing one of the wild and crazy guys from SNL from the 80s.
Yes,
like the Dan Aykroyd,
Steve Martin. Yeah,
he's like, oh, we just having parties and fun. It's really bad, Drew.
Are you because, serious?
I'm dead serious. Straight,
and he's a smuggler. But rather than play up, I would have loved him as fucking Garbo in, or not, you know what I'm talking about, Gone with the Wind.
The Grace, Clark, Grace Kelly?
Yeah.
The mustache?
It's not Grace Kelly, but,
No, you know what I'm talking about.
Y'all know what I'm talking about, like...
Clark Gable.
Clark Gable in Gone with the Wind, or Han Solo, like, smuggler. Instead, they went Steve Martin fucking...
SNL.
Also, why does Matt Damon live in a small apartment underneath a giant apartment?
The penthouse is right there.
The penthouse is right there, mm-hmm. and it's like the 1% shit.
The movie makes no sense. So then to keep going with that. So he hooks up with the Vietnamese chick, and she's like, you help my friend because you're a doctor. He's like, I'm a therapist. He's like, you help me now. That's the thing. The whole movie, she's like, you help me now. So is that racist, or is that the way she really talks?
It's maybe how she talks.
I think she might be how she talks.
Sure, but they played into that.
They did.
By making her of this pushy...
One of our listener reviews said in their screening, people were laughing at every line of dialogue she said, and he felt uncomfortable. In my screening, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I see, that's what I'm saying. It was like the one I went to, they laughed at her more than they should have.
Did they? Okay, yeah, so.
But there wasn't very many people in there, anyways. But I only saw it with that fucking MoviePass thing. But.
Shout out to MoviePass.
So then, so it turns in this whole fucking thing of like he's cleaning houses now.
Yeah, which in these tenements, which are set up outside the wall that they have built to protect everyone.
But they're still inside the dome,
fencing.
The fencing, but they're not inside. But
so they're separated though, but not.
But once again, though, they've established that they're only like 4 inches tall.
Yes.
And a dollar goes 1,000 times
Everything
more.
Is super cheap.
So why in the fuck are there anyone being that poor?
They're so poor.
And I get they
can't even have a penny?
I get a penny's
$100.
I get where they were going from, that it's going to be like...
Wealth inequality will eventually happen.
Always
there.
But... they were packed into for no reason because there's all this land. They're fucking tiny.
It makes no sense.
A Barbie house is like $50. That's like a mansion to them.
Yeah.
Because that's what he moved into. It was basically a big dollhouse.
Yeah, they're moving into dollhouses.
They're moving into dollhouses, basically.
And, they could have just... It makes me mad that, like, why did they make tenements that are so shitty? They could have... If they wanted poor people to live on the outskirts, they still could have given them some dignity.
It felt like the filmmakers were... just trying to make a dystopian point throughout all of this.
Yeah.
Like, the big reveal is they go back to the home village of the Norwegian guy.
The original downsized people.
And they're going to go into a doomsday bunker that they built because the only way they could build it was if they were so small And it's 8 miles into the fucking earth or whatever. Yeah. And all this shit.
And they have their tiny animals.
Their tiny animals and everything.
What was it 50 people or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. 100, or it was like 100 something.
100 people with families moving into this bunker. Matt Damon's like, I'm going to go with them. And then at the end, he finds out, it's an 8 mile walk. I'm going to go back. And then he goes back.
Yeah, which they played up for laughs. It's an 8 mile walk.
Yeah.
But also, they established that the global warming stuff they're talking about happening is not going to take effect for 400 years.
Yes, that is not even it's not their generation.
They're going into this fucking utopian bullshit down below 400 years in advance, so they'll be mole people when they come out or some stupid
sweet
shit.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't they be all fucked up from
they're never going to grow big again, so what the fuck's the point of making humans? What, you're small now. They're going in there to preserve humanity or whatever, but
they're going to be a small humans now.
But they can never come out and take over.
If it works, the next evolution of humanity is tiny people. And they'll be telling legends of the big people.
Exactly.
You know,
it's just dumb as fuck.
Lame.
And then when the whole movie is over, and so the whole movie ends up being Matt Damon, and then him and the Vietnamese chick, they hook up, and he's like, it wasn't a pity fuck, it was a love fuck. And then they go live off happily ever after. And he ends the movie having purpose in that he is now helping her deliver food to the poor people in the town. And he's found his purpose in life. So cheesy. Helping the poor Browns. And with the help of another Brown, a yellow. So racist.
And, because they literally had, they were talking about the whole movie about people downsizing and shit like that and all this from other countries, but only Mexicans were downsized. It was just like,
they talked about
Eastern European countries in the movie.
It's all white people doing it essentially. So that at the end of the movie, it turns out if you had told the exact same story without the downsizing gimmick, it was just about a guy who got his wife left him. It was a bad divorce, et cetera, et cetera. He meets a lady who was a Vietnamese descendant, could have told the exact story without any downsizing.
And they made it seem like it was going to be a goddamn physical comedy.
Because they told all the jokes from the first quarter, first third of the movie.
Yeah.
Didn't tell you one thing about what was happening later. And it's just a sort of drama.
And it could have been a great drama.
It's a good idea.
It's a great idea. There's
a couple of good ideas.
There's a couple of good ideas. You could have just made a drama or you could have made a comedy. You didn't make it enough of either one of them, and it just turned into a bad movie.
You tried to have both, and you had neither.
It's so boring. Even fucking Drew's fucking bored, and he's
sitting I'm just bored room. Listening to you guys talk about it.
Because you have no reference point. That's the problem. It's Drew. It's not good. It's not good. Aren't you disappointed?
Why would I?
Because you were so pumped to see it.
Chris.
Remember every time the trailer came on, you were like, I want to see this movie.
I'm going to go out with saying like 85% of the movies made in the world are not good.
You know what? 85%? You're being generous.
Listen, it's hard to make a movie.
It's goddamn hard to make a movie.
It's hard to make a movie, and I don't judge it. That's why I'm a bad critic, because I'm not overly critical. It's like, you still go see it.
Well, no, I don't think that makes you. I try to be...
I still say watch it.
I try to be favorable to movies more so than most people. I like movies, so you just like movies. There's nothing wrong with liking them and wanting them to be good.
I like King Arthur. I watched King Arthur the other day.
It's as entertaining moments. It is baffling, though.
It's just a goddamn Guy Ritchie British gangster movie, but with King Arthur.
But why does he reject the call thing, the old hero rejects the call,
he does happens that.
Six times, and then he does it for the last time, like an hour and 20 minutes into the movie. How many times is he going to reject the goddamn call? You're supposed to do
because,
it once.
Because it's a fucking British gangster movie.
I just want to know what was up with the giant elephants with the pyramids on
never,
top.
Which
that,
never came back.
That shot flaming fireballs out of them.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
And that was it. And then you saw him for like 10 seconds and it was over.
That opening scene was a lot of fun with Eric Bana.
Yeah.
As a total badass.
Eric Bana is a great actor.
He's
a comedian.
When he was fat.
Yes.
He used to be a fat comedian.
He is the Australian Chris Pratt.
Yes, he is the Australian Chris Pratt.
Fucking motherfucker. So what else is in the blockbusters though?
Did you ever see the movie Chopper?
No. Oh,
Chopper's great. Chopper.
That's the movie he made when he was fat. Fat Bana is about a real life Australian criminal. See Chopper.
All right.
He's got this giant handlebar mustache.
Huge handlebar mustache.
Fucking amazing.
That's great. Go ahead.
All right. So that was
number
14.
Like 14. Goddamn right. Number 5.
No, number 10.
What?
All the Money in the World.
Oh, that's right. We saw this.
Made $3.5 million.
All right. All the Money
total
in the World.
Total 20.
20 million.
Was it a good movie?
It was long.
As long as the defining characteristic, I feel.
It was long.
Movie. It's, because at the end of the movie, they concocted this thing where it's like this. There's tension. Characters running around. Will they or will they not get to this person before he is killed, et cetera, et cetera. And I felt no suspense.
No zero.
Tension. I was like, I'm just waiting for this thing to end at this point. So it's not necessarily bad. I didn't think it was bad.
But it's not. It's definitely not good.
It's not like I would really recommend it. Chris Plummer's worth checking out.
Okay.
Yeah. It's worth... Actually, it's worth seeing how...
Well, actually, I think it's...
The technical feel of it.
If you are a fan of film and movies and how they're made...
Movie making.
And how they're made...
Yep.
Then you should definitely see this movie only because of how it all got done. You know?
They took Spacey out of it.
They took Spacey out.
Over the span of 2 weeks, a month and a half before the movie was scheduled to be released.
And put Plummer in, and it still works.
And he's in...
So that
and a lot of the movie. In a decent amount of the movie. So, now, yeah. A lot of it was like maybe by himself or with one or two other people in the scene, because he is a reclusive character, fortunately for them. But, it was a lot of work. Pretty great. It's... Also fun to see there is one shot pretty early on of Kevin Spacey.
Yep.
Really?
That they couldn't cut around.
Yep. Okay. They just couldn't do it.
It's a far shot. It's not even a medium. Okay. It's a far shot. No, but you can tell it's him.
And seriously, the makeup. And it's only really a silhouette too, but it's such a stark
profile.
It's such a stark contrast to Christopher Plummer.
Yeah, he did not look alike at all. And then I missed this, but Drew caught towards the end, there's a bust of J. Paul Getty, his face, and a distant shot that I didn't see. Drew says it was Kevin Spacey, and then there's a close up, and it's Christopher Plummer.
Yeah,
so there's two Kevin Spaceys in the movie, which is really funny. I'm just like, you know what? If they can go in there and take out Christopher Plummer, why did they leave Mark Wahlberg in? They could have erased him too, maybe with a pen,
and then what? Giving us who instead?
Michelle Williams could have been talking to nobody the whole time. I wouldn't fine with that. She could have been a crazy lady.
Mark Wahlberg was in this?
He plays J. Paul Getty's fixer that he brings in to help
Mark Wahlberg?
Exactly. That's the reaction he should have, Tim. He has glasses on, so he's smart.
You know what? You're right. No. Michelle Williams talking to herself totally would have done better.
Would have been a better movie than her talking to Mark Wahlberg.
Yes,
Michelle Williams was good in it.
She was great.
She was good.
She's
in
a good actress.
She did some really good accent work.
She's
still not famous enough that she can't be in that movie without Mark Wahlberg.
I know it's a shame.
They can't. And the same thing. The reason why Kevin Spacey was in the movie to begin with, really, Scott wanted Christopher Plummer.
Yeah.
And the studio was like, "We'll give you the resources to make this movie, but we need a more famous person." They suggested Kevin Spacey, and he went with it. And then
Scott makes goddamn good movies.
He knows how to make a movie. They should. Yes, they should trust his instinct. Even when he makes a movie based on a script that's not great, like in this case, there's still scenes that are well done, moments that are great.
Yeah, it ain't his baby. He took it and made it into something at least.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they all can't be Willow, but some of them might end up being an American, even American Gangster. I was like, man, this is a great Denzel Washington movie in which this like weird Russell Crowe movie keeps popping up. And playing.
It was like seriously.
I'm enjoying the true story of this real life gangster, and then like let's talk for 10 minutes about this cop who's getting a divorce.
Yeah,
like, I don't care about
him. Fucking Captain Australia shows up. I know his name's not Captain Australia.
He should be though.
He should be because it was just like,
hey, you know what? If they ever make my dream Australian Santa movie, I'll cast Russell Crowe. Be like, oh, I'm Australian Santa. How's it going, Drew? I'm back. It's me, Australian Santa.
Who are you casting as your Samson?
As Samson? As Australian Santa Samson?
Australian Santa Samson.
What is Australian Santa Samson? All the world in the monies is the type of movie I would see like on HBO or on streaming or something like that.
From
HBO,
the comfort of your
HBO
own
HBO, go it.
HBO,
100%. Go it. Drew agrees?
Yeah.
There we go. Moving on. Go ahead.
If you even bother watching the movie.
Drew says, the only reason
why I was so interested because I wanted to see the technical aspect of it. I wanted to see how it all worked.
We got a big kick out of that. So there we go. That was worth it for us, yes. I think.
I mean, going for it for like the movie and itself, the story and the story. All that. Yeah, no, I didn't
just read the Wikipedia page about the kidnapping.
Yeah,
just as entertaining
because it happened.
Go ahead.
Number five this week.
Number five.
Pitch Perfect 3.
Okay,
it's on my list of movies to see.
Yeah. $10.2 million. You've seen total 85.
85? Not bad at all. You've seen the other two? You're a fan of them?
Big fan.
The reviews for the third one, just, you know, keep your expectations in check, haven't been as good as
it's
the
a movie
two.
About girls a cappella singing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, though, the first two Pitch Perfects were... The first one was well-liked. Everyone liked it. The first one wasn't bad. I still haven't gotten around to seeing it.
I saw the first one.
The second one, the reviews were still good.
I never saw the second one.
But not as good as the first. And this one, it's the law of diminishing returns, unfortunately.
Well, I mean... There's only so many jokes you can have Rebel Wilson make about her weight.
Yeah, exactly. Or
Her vagina.
How many different a cappella performances of popular songs you can throw in there. I do like the tone that I can gather from the trailers and everything. The snarkiness of it. You know, they look like fun movies. But, man, first off, Elizabeth Banks directed the second one and third one. I love her. And then who's the guy who's in all the Christopher Guest movies?
Oh, yeah. Well, because they do her and him do.
They're the commentators.
Yeah, commentators. He's the discount Eugene Levy.
Yes.
That in itself is worth watching the movie for.
I think they're. For those two. I like them already as actors and actresses.
And Anna Kendrick is gorgeous.
Anna Kendrick is very attractive. That is correct. Yes, true. I agree. All right. That was number five?
That was number five.
Number four.
Number four, The Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. Made $13.8 million. Total of $75.
$75 million, not too bad. Again, I only know exactly one person who has seen this movie, and she liked it quite a bit. So.
Well, yeah, they just should have made it. They took all his bullshit out.
They did. Which they do often. I love the James Brown movie that came out a couple years ago, but they really whitewashed. They show him a little like being drugged out and crazy, but they really whitewashed him like being a womanizer. Only in the beginning for that
one scene.
Otherwise, he's practically a saint.
They keep making these movies, and it's like, well, just make it a fictional character then.
Yeah, if you don't want to show the realness, the Miles Davis movie with Don Cheadle. You definitely.
That was real.
They show him like hitting her.
That's what I'm saying.
They show him hitting her. They show him
just being a bad drunk.
That Greatest Showman on Earth movie would have no baggage. They just made a fictional character.
Yeah.
Right. It could just been about a fake guy who made the first circus. Yep. It doesn't have to be. It's based on P.T. Barnum, and then everyone would go with it. If you're gonna make it the real P.T. Barnum, you gotta talk about how he exploited.
That's a better movie.
It is a better movie too, but is it a feel good movie that he saw on Christmas? No. And this lady who went and saw it, she talked about how she enjoyed the songs. She doesn't even like musicals. She enjoyed the songs, and it was a lot of fun.
So make that with someone that ain't an asshole.
But then I don't have my name. Do you
think
value?
Yeah, but you think anyone's fucking going because it's P.T. Barnum? You think there's any fucking circus nerds?
I don't.
You think that's a fucking demographic circus nerds?
$5 million worth of box. All the stops for the circus nerds. I agree.
And you get rid of fucking 20 million of baggage.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Man.
The only thing I ever heard about that movie was Argo saying it shouldn't have been made.
Because of the problematic reasoning. Uh-huh.
And you know what I would have seen if it was a fucking fake guy? Well, this movie was cute and fun and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It has Zac Efron, you know, come on, it's half fun. Zendaya.
Exactly. Fucking Zac Efron makes fun movies.
He does make fun movies. Even if the movie itself isn't fun, he's fun in it. I really enjoyed him in Baywatch. One of my favorite parts of Baywatch.
Fun movie.
He was one of my favorite parts. When the movie started, I thought it was going to be like Airplane. Like, just jokes.
Because of the way it started.
So over the top.
Giant logo coming out, the rocks all like.
The music's all.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh no, we actually have a story we want to tell. I'm like, stick with the fun, guys. We were having fun for the first few minutes. All right, Greatest Showman. Problematic. Go.
Number three. Star Wars, The Last Jedi. All right. Made $23.5 million. Total of $572.
That is an insane amount of money.
$632. Foreign, $1.2 billion worldwide.
I'm very interested in seeing where this ends up topping out the worldwide number. If it gets to $2 billion or not, like the last one did.
Mm.
Are you a fan of the Star Wars movies at all? Have we talked about Star Wars before on the show?
I don't know if we have. I went and saw this one. I'd see him late. This one I saw very early. I saw it while I was still like seeing fresh.
Yeah.
I thought it was cheesier than hell. It was like a grilled cheese sandwich.
It's very jokey.
It's very jokey, and they're doing like the Marvel version of it. And as a man who is professionally funny, it was fucking too much jokey joke.
Okay.
In too many different places.
Okay.
They should have just had more jokes. They should have had 4 spots with their jokes and 5 jokes in there instead of 20 spots with it. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. Yeah. They oversaturated the jokes that just weren't that good.
And then they switched tone. Also, the plot was dumb as fuck.
I have an issue with the plotting in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
The whole middle of the movie didn't even have to be there, which is unfortunate.
And I'm just tired of them. I'm tired of that bullshit.
I'm
tired of there being no effective fleet commanders for any of these people ever. And it's all just like,
They could take over the galaxy, but this is my mentality now with the Star Wars movies. When we saw it, did we see it together? A lot of kids in the theater. I was sitting next to like 4 or 5 kids as a family, kids in front of us. And right away, within the first 5 minutes of the movie, we're hit with one of these like these joke scenes. Poe Dameron's doing the, what, I can't hear you on the intercom, that whole bit. And it was like a kind of extended bit.
And that was fun.
It was fun and enjoyable, but I was surprised by, we're throwing in this amount of levity this fast, but the kids around me were laughing their asses off. And I was like, these movies are for
kids.
They're for the kids. It's cool that we can watch them and there's things for us that we can enjoy.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, if I told Disney I'm not enjoying them, Disney's like, go fuck yourself.
Care. Yeah, Disney doesn't care. Disney only cares what, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Just give us 20s. Them fucking them Star Wars movies like Rogue One.
Which they're going to keep doing. Yeah. And then we have Han Solo coming.
Disney's good at what they do.
Yeah, they know what they're doing, and all the fanboys like really freaking out about it. They're just cracking me up. There's a very extreme backlash.
It doesn't belong to you.
Yes.
If it belongs,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes.
Go buy the rights to your favorite childhood shit, and then it can belong
to you. Thank you. That is
you didn't what create I'm it.
People feel find ownership of these things. So then it's like George Lucas fucked it up. We hate you, George
it's
Lucas.
It's like, no, George he Lucas fucked his Disney. Own thing up. Yeah.
But then they sold to Disney. It's like, Disney, now you're fucking it up. I was like, you guys.
Yeah, motherfucker, y'all, what are y'all, would y'all make? You want to see fucking, they just want to see fucking Luke Skywalker fuck, you know, whatever to death or something.
Yeah, what do they want? I don't know what they want. I for one, enjoy that.
They want lightsaber porn.
They want lightsaber porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, lightsabers up the butthole. I, for one, thought it was a perfectly fine movie. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Like I said, the whole middle section didn't need to be there. The movie is 20 minutes too long, easy. Because I felt those 20 minutes. But there's still parts of that movie that I kind of loved. And
the whole casino thing was fun.
The casino scene itself was fun. And the whole, and everyone knows about this now, the light speed kamikaze through the
cruiser. Yeah, that was awesome.
An amazing 10 seconds. Maybe my favorite 10 seconds of Star Wars.
It should have been 32 minutes earlier in the movie when that happened.
Yeah, it should have. Because I was like, by that point, I was like, oh my God.
Because they had them two other ships that just run out of gas.
And blow up.
Yeah. And you could have drove them into...
They could have done something. They could have kamikaze.
They could have kamikaze, and then the other one goes to light speed when, I don't know, the Emperor's fucking ship gets kamikaze into.
Yeah, exactly.
And you figure there's going to be some...
But now we're ending our movie at the 45-minute mark, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is weirdly plotted, I would say, for sure.
What was number two, sir?
Number two was Insidious : The Last Key.
A.K.A. Key Fingers.
Because apparently there was a first key...
Apparently.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But it doesn't matter, Tim. You want to know why?
Why?
It because makes a fuck ton of money.
Because in 1 week, it made $29 million.
Wow. Cost 13?
And it only cost them 10 to make.
Wow. I gave them $3 million extra. Those movies are not bad horror movies. They know what they are.
I saw the first one.
See them at the Dollar Theater. See them at Picture Show.
There you go.
If you've got a discount theater in your town.
Yeah.
Oregon's got a bunch of them. Go see them movies when they're $1 on the big screen, because it's worth seeing the...
I would actually say most movies are worth the dollar theater.
Yeah.
If you're
going
to see movies, see in the dollar theater for
the
most part.
It's fun to see movies on the big screen sometimes.
Are they showing old trailers?
Yes.
Because I guess it's trailers for movies that'll be coming to the dollar theater.
It's trailers from whatever one of them was originally.
Just whatever is attached to it.
So there's sometimes you'll be watching a trailer at the dollar theater, and it'll be for a movie that's on DVD.
On DVD? That's hysterical.
Like
it's
the awesome. I saw Star Wars almost 11 months after the first the new Force number.
Yeah, that would take forever. Yeah, sure.
I saw that. It came out, what, December, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in December of the next year.
Okay, yeah.
Like it was
last December, last Christmas. Yeah, yeah. That's saw when I finally got to the second run.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
I saw it that long ago.
That's funny. You know what? You know why they did that too? Because that's probably when it also came out on DVD. They probably waited a full year for it to come out.
Oh, it was forever. Yeah,
yeah. And then right, perfect, just in time for a Christmas present.
It was
stocking
stuffers. It was cold when I saw it. Yeah,
that's hysterical. What movie were we talking about?
Key Fingers.
Oh yeah, Key Fingers. Oh, I saw the first Insidious. It was fine. I didn't follow up on them though.
Because I saw Insidious 3 at the Dollar Theater.
All right, there you go. So I think this is the fourth one. I'm pretty sure. So
I think this might be the fifth one.
I wouldn't believe it. I would not believe it. I would. That sounds. Right. I'm trying to say that sounds believable.
But this is the first time that the old woman character's house gets haunted.
And is it their first one as the lead character? Or no, it's her family is the whole point, right? Yeah. And then there's this thing with key fingers. And he sticks it in her throat?
I don't know.
I don't understand. It's in the trailer.
But sometimes those are just dream sequences in the movie.
Is that what's going on?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. I've only saw the first one.
They might be
able to
flake out on us, yeah.
There we go. You write in a dream. Start writing dream sequences into your horror movies, and you can do anything.
I know.
The only time it's really effective, though, is with Freddy, Nightmare on Elm Street, because that's a central part of the man. These
usually in the Insidious movies, if I'm not mistaken, are kind of like waking fever dream things. Okay. Not really. So I do like that to build tension.
Mm-hmm.
I like when you can't trust your senses.
Fever dream type of stuff. The malaria's getting to me, and I'm seeing the ghosts. That type of thing. Yeah, sure, I can get behind that. So that was number two. What was number one?
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Wow, get out of here.
Weekend gross $36 million, total of $244 on a budget of $90.
Man, good for Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart at all.
I fucking love that guy.
I'm a fan.
All the people in that movie are good people.
I like Jack Black.
And they're all solid movie stars.
I like them all.
Dude, foreign, it's made $275. Worldwide, we're over $500 million.
Ladies and gentlemen, expect Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle to 2020.
Probably. If The Rock ain't present.
Exactly. He'll be running. No.
Or they'll replace him.
I think he said maybe 2024.
I think he's going to run in 2020.
2020? He is doing some exploratory stuff.
He's doing some exploratory stuff.
He should at least try to get like some sort of... Well, no. Donald Trump blew it out now. All the TV star could be president. So it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. That's if he doesn't run, I think Mark Zuckerberg's going to run for president.
Oh, God, no.
Mark Zuckerberg's been doing a bus tour of Iowa and shit like
really?
That, which means he might run for president.
That's no fun.
I will not vote for that scam.
I would, because
you know what? Fuck it. Facebook does pretty good for me. We're going to have an evil empire one way or another.
We are going to have one.
We might as well fucking get one that has a good interface.
Well, then is it going to be Zuckerberg running up against Bezos for president?
Maybe. Ooh. And I'd rather have the Facebook than Amazon.
Well, hey, either way.
I have an Amazon TV coming, so.
Either way, if either of those guys do run, at least we'll get net neutrality back.
Probably.
They would be more concerned with, the open internet.
Probably. That's true. Well, Bezos wants to replace everyone with robots.
Yes, he does.
He just wants
to speed up the jobless economy, which is coming.
Which is coming, and you know what? If he does that and they do a universal basic income, then fucking I'm about it.
I'm actually okay with universal, because I'm not a greedy dude. I can live with just the basics. I'm not trying to get rich.
The universal basic income thing is the idea of just everyone, there's no welfare, everyone just gets a check.
Yes.
So it creates kind of a floor.
Yeah.
And if you create a floor, I think we'd see a lot of, you don't have to work at McDonald's anymore.
Right.
You still have to work to get nice things.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to.
If you're fine with like just existing.
Exactly.
That is very...
What makes existing
anti-capitalism?
I know. What makes existing easier?
Yes.
It doesn't mean because no one's going to want to just exist.
Right.
They're all going to want cool
people are
shit.
Still going to
want
to strive.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is there will be a severe lack of jobs, but then it'll give people the opportunity to try to create something.
They'll be
that
making
can
new
jobs.
Value, new things because people will have a. This can't be replaced by robots.
Right.
People pay for this in some ways.
Exactly. And it's the same thing as when we got off agricultural economy, when 80% of the people stopped getting into agriculture, it got dropped down to 20%, and then it freed up everyone else to explore other avenues of
there'll business. Be all kinds of new weird shit to make money on.
Hopefully, knock on wood, we'll see. But if President Johnson has his way, The Rock Johnson...
Our economy might be based on asteroid.
What would that?
I don't know. I don't know if he'd be good or bad, but
I have no idea.
I'd probably vote for him. He makes fun movies.
He's so likable.
He's so likable. He's probably going to launch us into like fucking all out war with something real bad.
His negotiation tactics will be Terry Crews ripping off a shirt and flexing him.
I was about to say
we're in Idiocracy now. He is closer to the Camacho.
I wouldn't be surprised if like he straight up rock bottomed a world leader one day.
Rock bottom King John. Through a table, picks him up.
Would be surprised. I feel like he'd be too cautious of appearing like that. So he would actually be worse.
You want to try to be as Obama as possible.
He'd be it'd be too much.
End up with the Woodrow Wilson, who's afraid to do anything to piss people off, and then World War One rages on for a couple of years without American involvement.
Yeah,
and then finally someone's like, look, just. Naturalize. Dude, citizenize the Puerto Ricans. Send them over there. It'll buy us some time.
Same thing happened with World War II. We were in the middle of isolationism. We were
very isolated.
We wouldn't even help England.
We had a false flag.
No, we did.
We did. There were all sorts of little backway shit
we
that
fucking,
we were helping.
Officially, we did.
Okay.
They made Axis countries cash and carry everything. So and shit like that, but they didn't do that for English companies and shit like that. Yeah.
There's a whole thing too with all the ships being blown up, torpedoed in the Atlantic for a while. It was crazy stuff. Man, Jumanji, good for them. You know what? Maybe I'll get around to seeing it.
I'm perhaps. Looking. I'm now. I renewed my movie pass. It's on my list of movies.
There you go. It's a perfect movie pass movie or a dollar theater movie. Yep. It won't take that long to get to the dollar theater, despite the success. Good for them. So that's our box office recap.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it. Let's move on to real quick new movies coming out on DVD this week. I didn't see My Little Pony: colon, the movie.
It's at Dollar Theater.
There you go. It's at the Dollar Theater. It's all the poor bronies are over there. It comes out on home video streaming this week.
Creepy.
Very
at the Dollar Theater.
Yeah. Are you a fan of horror movies,
Tim? I am.
Yeah. It's worth seeing if you like Stephen King type stuff. It's one of the better Stephen King movies, I'd say. This one disappointed me. The Jackie Chan, Pierce Brosnan movie.
Was it bad?
It was not as good as it could have
been. If I could choose between The Foreigner and Taken, I would go with Taken. Actually, I would go with Taken 2 over The Foreigner.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I am in the camp of liking Taken 2 more than Taken, which is weirdly a smaller camp than I thought it would be. But anyway. So The Foreigner was disappointing because it's like, finally, Jackie Chan getting on the old man action. He actually can do action. This is great. And there's a serious lack of Jackie Chan. He disappears from the movie for like 30 minutes while Pierce Brosnan's talking to a bunch of old IRA dudes. It's a weird movie. Also, they make a point of saying that Jackie Chan is a British citizen, yet they keep calling him the foreigner. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. It's like downsizing. It didn't make no sense.
All right. Well, I'm still going to watch it because that looks like it's got some action to it.
Dollar Theater, definitely worth watching for the action and for Pierce Brosnan because I'm a Pierce Brosnan fan.
I'm going to go see it probably Tuesday at Dollar Theater.
Very cool. There you go. So that's it on DVD. Drew, it's come out in theaters.
Paddington Dose.
Yes, Paddington 2. Surprise hit, Paddington. People really liked it, so it got the sequel right away.
I saw that with a kid years ago at the Dollar Theater.
Yeah.
It was a solid movie.
Lower view.
It's just a,
it's a likable family movie, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you have to watch a movie with a kid,
you could do a lot worse, apparently.
The new one's got Brendan Gleeson in a prison, so.
Brendan Gleeson in prison? I'll see that.
Oh, no. Exactly.
You know Brendan Gleeson?
I like him.
Yeah, okay. I actually kind of got a Brendan Gleeson thing going on. It's the red hair is what's going on there.
I love all the Gleasons.
The Gleasons are fun. They're a fun bunch. Well, it's come out in theaters.
Speaking of your favorite Liam Neeson kicking ass, The Commuter.
My favorite Neeson, the Liam Neeson, The Commuter.
The Commuter did look good. I'm gonna see that soon.
It looks like his brand of, speaking of these old man action, right in his wheelhouse. We'll definitely be seeing. I'm a fan of thrillers, whodunits, these type of he with the same director, I think, made this movie already. Remember the one he did on the airplane?
Yeah, is it the same movie?
Okay. It's the same director, so it feels it's like the
same movie.
Yes,
same
someone movie. On this
first
plane.
We had Neeson on a plane.
I like it.
Now we got Neeson on a train.
They don't make enough middle level movies no more.
They don't. You're correct. Every movie is now either like less than $10 million or more than $100 billion.
Yeah, it's like goddamn.
I guarantee this had a budget of like $30-40 million. Yeah. We'll find out in a week or two. You are 100% correct. This used to be like the bread and butter of the 90s.
Is that coming to theaters or coming to DVD?
Theaters. January is the time when, if they make a movie like this, is when it comes out. Okay. What else is coming out?
Also coming out this weekend, Proud Mary.
Ooh, I fucking want to see that so bad.
I want this movie to be good. The trailer doesn't give me much hope, but I want it to be good.
If it's bad, then it's going to be real bad.
Yeah, it looks like modern blaxploitation. Like, they're doing a shout out. Like, they want to make a good modern, what's the reference?
Jackie Brown.
No, Foxy Brown.
Foxy Brown.
Same actress, Pam Grier. And I like Taraji P. Henson. I think she's good. She's got a bit, kind of a, behind her eyes, a little bit of danger.
Yeah.
Which also makes her great on Empire.
She's fucking crazy. Yeah. She's got that crazy.
A little bit.
That she's got that, she's breaking at me and she's burning me alive.
Yes, exactly. like, I don't know. I look at her like, I'm aroused and scared. You know, that type of thing. There's a few people, actors, who have that. Like, I always thought Ben Foster had that. Like, this guy looks dangerous.
Yeah, he looks like he would fucking kill me for no reason.
Like, he may flip out any moment. I get that one around Lady Raptastic. Like, Lady Raptastic scares me, honestly. So Proud Mary, I want this to be good, absolutely. And then this came out, it's not on your list because it came out limited, but The Post comes out in wide release this weekend. That's the Steven Spielberg movie about the Pentagon Papers being put out. Washington Post deciding to print about them under, you know, threat of the government. Perfect timing, actually, for this type of movie. Spielberg made it in 7 months. It usually takes 2 years to make a movie. He was in post-production on Ready Player One, and someone was like, do you want to make this movie? And he was like, yes. And he made it in 7 goddamn months, which is crazy.
Damn,
he's just like, yo, Tom, Merrill, get over here. We got some work to do.
Yeah, he started and had shot Ready Player One already for like a year, And then this came across him, and then he made it in the time it took him to finish making Ready Player One, and it came out before Ready Player One. That's wild shit. Spielberg's an animal. He's an animal.
Also, just shows you how much time visual effects takes.
Ready Player One is going to take forever because of the visual effects. The Post, meanwhile, is a bunch of people in offices. Drama, which is...
Yeah, drama in offices.
It's a perfect palate cleanser for him, actually.
It's like...
Yeah, much easier on the... Yeah. So, but it is cool to see him like, I'm going to bang this thing out. That's like, that's kind of Ridley Scott style.
I bet you there's no single green shirt in that whole fucking movie.
Yeah, I bet you.
It's all green shirts in this movie. It's like, he's just like, ha ha, look, I'm going to have green screen.
Ready Player One, not a hint of green. The Post.
There. Might as well be fucking Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. Tom Hanks is Kermit the Frog in The Post. It looks good. I mean, it's Spielberg. I'm looking forward to it. All right, Drew, you know what time it is, right?
I do.
All right.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They called that Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Dr. Al. Sex.
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor's in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris.
Yep.
It's January 5th. Which means, no, January 7th. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't even know what's going on. I'm staring at this. What does that say right there?
January 5th and 7th.
That's why. Okay. So it is the 7th. We are officially a week into 2018. And I really hope that everybody has already gone back on their New Year's resolutions. So congratulations, America. You guys are
I have
retards.
Not. I've been good with mine.
Have you?
Yeah.
All right.
Good. Congratulations. You are one of, you are like the 1% of people who have not gone back on their resolutions already.
My resolutions haven't changed from last year, so I'm still on them.
Yeah.
I'm still on them.
I've been sticking
true to resolutions.
My New Year's resolution 10 years ago was no more New Year's resolutions, and I've stuck to it.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you.
Tim is calling you out on that bullshit.
Just tell him all Santa ain't real too, asshole. Just fucking take the magic away.
You're right.
No. Just take the magic away.
Neither is Jesus or God.
Let people have this.
We have kids listening. You just told them Santa's not real, Tim.
Oh, my bad.
Well, you know what? Santa's not real, but you know who is real? Australian Santa. Hey, Drew, how's it going, mate? It's me, Australian Santa.
You're not letting kids listen to the episode with me on it. Come on now.
I specifically put it on thumb drives and take it to schools and hand it out to children. I put it on iPods. I have a box of iPods upstairs.
Which is odd. Big Tim. Which is very odd because he's not allowed within 100 feet of most of most schools.
Hey, you promised not to talk about it. all right, guys. Crespo Disco time. Trying to imply that I'm some sort of... I have here. Actually, one of my favorite parts of All the Money in the World was the soundtrack. I thought it was a good traditional score. This guy, Daniel Pemberton, he's been around the block. So I'm going to play the main theme. It's the one they used during the end credits. We're going to play that, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a little bit of Vox Populi, abilities, movie news, etc., etc. And we're going to debut a brand new Big Tim-only segment, Drew. We're only going to do this when Tim's around. It's going to be a lot of fun. You ready? All right, here we go.
Thank you. Previously on Scotch and Good Conversation.
So clairvoyance, maybe not real. Professional wrestling, yes, real.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sucks. People that think that, oh, the guys are bumping on pillows or a trampoline. No, I've been wrestling for 12 years now.
You still wrestle?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. And your wrestling name is?
Simon Says.
Simon Says. That's what the Simon Says came up.
Yeah.
You're Simon Time, the trivia guy. You're Simon Says, the wrestler.
Yeah, Says is the evil counterpart, and Time is the nice trivia host man.
There's a good picture of you looking like you just wrestled and you're bleeding.
Yeah.
And you look angry at the world. Did you win or lose in that photo?
I won, actually. I don't know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I've never looked that tough in my life.
Yeah, it's...
And the third thing I know about you is you collect toys.
You did your homework.
Are you a baby? what toys do you collect?
I collect everything, man. But I just want to let the Scotch and Good Conversation listeners know that Pete just finished talking about the fact that I crush people's skulls on the weekend. And now he's making fun of the
No! I think it's cool. I wish I had something I cared about other than my wife, and my dog, and my podcast. I don't have any hobbies. I'm a hobbyless, soulless
people watching
shell of a man.
Listen to this show on pftmedia.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back.
Grab a phone.
Even while we sleep.
Got it. Don't jump on her laptop.
We will find you. Acting on your best behavior, turn your back on Mother Nature.
Hey, she's got 3 email accounts on her phone.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
Not seeing anything on her corporate or Hotmail.
It's my own desire.
There's gotta be something we can blackmail her with. Just keep looking.
Remorse. Help me to decide. Help me make the most of freedom and of pleasure. Nothing ever lasts forever. Everybody.
Got into her Gmail, don't see anything in here. Did you check for any hidden partitions?
Obviously.
Check the office.
Find you holding hands while the walls come crumbling down.
Hey, anything?
No, nothing.
She's a lawyer. She's got to have dirt.
Wait, you see Yahoo Mail in her web history. Maybe we do a pass on her drive, try to recover any deleted files.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
Maybe we could target Yahoo server logs and cross-reference any incoming connections from here. Might lead to an account name and password hash. I could use Bashbone.
Or, what about this?
Welcome to the Crystal.
Yeah, yeah! Woo!
It's woo! Drew, it's a computer, it's a laptop, it is...
Is it time?
It is near the end, unfortunately, to the point where, as we record, I fear for our podcasting lives.
Mm.
We have saved the first half, so all that great stuff in the first half is mwah, ensconced until I get the blue screen of death. That happened when I was hosting trivia, Tim.
Yeah.
I use tablets to plug in to a PA system, and then I play music while I host the trivia, and I also use the PA to talk through. I was doing trivia at a private party a couple weeks ago for Christmas, and I was like, all right, I'm setting up. I was plugging into this homeboy's karaoke system that he had already set up because they were doing karaoke right after trivia.
Yeah.
I plug in my tablet, and I'm like, oh, the sound isn't really. Let me rig this little plug in a little bit. Blue screen, shut off, gone. I'm like, uh-oh. I go to turn on the tablet. Nuh-uh. My trivia music is gone, Tim. It's gone. Right as people are like, they're getting their answer sheets, they're writing down their team names, they're getting ready to go. I had to plug in my phone into Spotify. My phone was at 25% battery. I was like, what else can go wrong? I dropped my phone immediately, hit the ground, screen side down. So I'm like, I know I'm going to pick this thing up and it's going to be cracked, or it survived.
Right.
I plugged it in and it worked. All that was just to say, welcome back to the second half of episode 261. Drew, I did it just for you. Happy birthday. That was your birthday gift.
Aw, thanks, Chris.
Welcome back to the second half.
You're such a silly asshole.
I'm a silly asshole.
The great thing is, for the longest time, we would say that every episode, and we didn't even notice. We did that for what, like almost a year and a half straight? Welcome back to the second half.
For like a year and a half straight. Yes, I agree. I am stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. Happy birthday, Juice Cogburn. Whoa.
Man, I can't wait to move out of this fucking place.
Time. I bet.
I cannot. 6 days. 6 days. All I have to survive. Another 6 days without killing him or myself,
hey,
and everything will be fine.
I'm just looking forward to not finding cigarette butts in my laundry anymore. How about that?
Oh, yeah. That's only been a recent thing.
Yeah, sure it has, Drew. We are back. Cinema Crespity, so... Tim Murphy, plug some shit, buddy. Where can people find you online, my man?
Find me on Facebook at Big Tim Murphy. If you just Google Big Tim Murphy, you'll print my personal page. You can find me at BigTimSoulSuckers.com. That's my lollipop page.
Yes.
Got Poking the Bear. I'm at Big Tim Comic on Twitter, even though I don't tweet, and whatever, all that stuff.
And a Big Timmy Comic on Instagram, yes. I see.
I have a Big Tim Comic, too, but I forgot the login.
And so then, that's why it's Big Tim.
And then every Wednesday night... Every Wednesday night at the Bone Bush in the Milk District.
All right.
Every Wednesday. We're taking up the third Wednesday now.
Every Wednesday at the Bone Bush Milk District. What time does that start?
Nine. It might start later. I'm thinking about pushing it back, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know what? If you can push it back to like 9:30.
I think I'm going to start back at 9:30.
If you do it, Tim, honestly, if you do that, man, I could come out on a random Wednesday after I host trivia at the Oblivion Tavern.
I think I might move to 9:30.
My trivia show ends at 9. And I wouldn't mind coming out on a random Wednesday after trivia, going straight to the Bull and Bush, yep, having a beer, and watching some comedy. I would not mind that at all.
And if you push it back to 9:30, I guarantee you I will never show up because I will be asleep by then.
This guy.
You're asleep by 9, though, motherfucker. Don't start that shit.
He's awake at like 2:30 in the morning to go make the donuts. Someone's got to make the vegan donuts.
I don't make vegan donuts. I make the vegan breakfast.
He makes the vegan breakfast. He's adjacent to the vegan donuts.
Yeah.
I was trying to go.
Those vegan donuts are fucking delicious, though. I'll tell you what.
Bull and Bush, open mic, right?
It's kind of an open mic.
So you have like sort of a set thing? You are you asking people then to come each Wednesday?
Sometimes, but it's more of like, I will say no if I don't like you.
Will you? I like that, though.
Yeah, it's
you
like...
You can't just have everyone going up there.
It's like I put up a bunch of newbies, but also like if too many newbies show up, it's like, well... Then no, we're not having that many.
You guys were talking recently because you mentioned Poking the Bear real quick. I will say it again. People, listen to that show. It is fantastic. I'm a huge fan. On Thursday, right around noon, I go to my feed and I start refreshing every like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm like,
we're bad at releasing, but yes.
Hey, it's fine. It's been a pretty consistent Thursday release. Time is a little fishy, but
I don't know why he doesn't set it up to just fucking auto release. But
you know what? No, Ryan, you're doing a great job. It's doing great, buddy. I love the show and I love listening every week. And I was gonna say I had a point. To bring it up.
We kicked a guy off stage a while back. Is that it?
No. Did you? No, yes. I thought this was great, though. This is a funny story, how someone showed up, or maybe it was at an open mic Ryan was
no,
doing.
No, it was the...
It was a Bull and Bush open mic.
He showed with all his friends.
All his friends. And how that goodwill dries up so fast.
It just dries up
so
fast.
So you should be doing open mics like... clandestine, no one knows you're doing just trying to work out your terrible jokes for the first
and then
year.
Have your friends come when you're real funny
when you're good, because then you might actually have some of them follow you for a while, right? Because having your friends come to, I found this out, having friends and family support you with things that involve like showing up or doing stuff is hard as fuck. It's so much easier to get strangers to support you than
it's so fucking weird to have strangers.
It's crazy. But the most ardent Crespediso supporters we have,
people I've never
met.
I've met them now.
Some of them we have
some
gone
of them
on to
we
meet.
Have gone on to meet, but for the most part they're just random people
out of nowhere
who have really like latched onto us.
Meanwhile, our bestest friends and people and
care.
Family members,
they don't even
you still doing that podcasting thing?
Exactly. My extended family and my best friends don't even download.
It's funny how that works out. I've talked about this before, the parallels between hosting trivia and going out and doing stand-up comedy. I have now experienced, Tim, having to perform in front of a fucked out room, where like, all right, I have three people here to play trivia.
Let's do it.
Here's the show. Big music, all my jokes. You know, I'm doing the show.
It is so hard to get people to come to things on weeknights.
Yes, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Yeah. I've discovered that doing trivia, and I've also discovered doing trivia as I promote my Tuesday night show, Wednesday night show. Oh, I am now up against these Tuesday night shows and these of comedy and bingo and trivia and so many. There are a lot of things to do here in Orlando.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays are dead nights too, and everybody's got trying to get something to perk it up.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know. Hence why I have a fucking recurring comedy show, The Bowen Bush, on Wednesday.
Wednesday is Bowen Bush, 9 p.m.
Tuesday, Wednesday, so trivia.
Guys, Tuesdays, do you have anything on Tuesdays?
No.
You don't have anything. All right, so Tuesday.
You own Tuesday.
7 p.m., at least in Belle Isle. Jesus Christ, which I really carved out a shitty part of town. Belle Isle, 7 o'clock Tuesdays, Cork and Fork. It's actually a nice restaurant, guys.
Chris, the woodshed's out there.
Yeah, I'm near the woodshed. That's the part of town we're in. So there is a great Indian restaurant that Tom the Beer Guy.
That place is good. Really I've been good. There, yeah.
Shout out to Tom the Beer Guy. He'll be on next week. He'll be our guest next week for our anniversary show. So that's gonna be a drunken mess.
And it's gonna be it's gonna be great.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. So Tuesday, see me do trivia at the Cork and Fork at 7. Wednesday, see me do trivia at 7:30 at Oblivion Tap Room, and then I think it is maybe if you go down 50 to McGuire, and then you make a left. The Milk District is like 10 minutes away.
Yeah, it's not even.
Just go to Bumby and 50.
Yeah.
And go away from Winter Park. Go like towards.
Yeah, make a left.
Well, Oblivion Tap Room is up at 50 and 4:36. Yeah. So you start your night at Oblivion Tap Room.
Go through a little bit, make that left.
Get a burger, have a drink or two, play some trivia. Maybe you walk out of there with a gift card, and then you go down the road, make a left. You go to the Bowling Bush. The comedy's just getting started. Have some beers down there. Say what's up to Big Tim. Let him know about your trivia exploits. There you go. That's a fun Wednesday night. I think that's fun. I'm going to come out. Even if you don't move it, I'm going to come out to a Wednesday again.
I'm going
to
move it. I'm
going to support
you. I'm moving at 8:30.
You're my homie. I'm going to support you.
I'm moving at 8. I'm moving at 9:30. I'm fucking done.
And then people can find Drew online at
Antihero419 and some places on the internet.
Some places. Not everywhere, because you're not everywhere.
No, because I'm not. Well, and seriously, in all reality, I'm like this close to just deleting Twitter because I haven't used it in like a year.
You don't even use your Twitter. You got like almost 200 followers, I think, waiting for you to tweet.
Yes. Yes, correct.
Like, Twitter's awful.
And the funny thing is, Chris, every once in a while, I'll get a new follower out of nowhere, too.
You will, because you say every week, follow me on the internet at Antihero419. That's why you get a new follower every now and then.
It's weird.
It's not weird. It's what we're doing.
I don't tweet.
People, they want to know what you got to say. They need more Dr. Drew's 2 cents. It's a 10-second segment. They need more Drewisms.
Short and sweet, bro.
You've heard of truisms? We need Druisms.
Well,
new segment, here we go.
I speak nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
That's
Chris.
Right. Bad boys, what you gonna do? New segment, Druisms. In the first half, we have Dr. Drew's 2 cents. In the second half, Druisms. Drew, take it away. Druisms. We need a Druism. Go. Just what's true about life?
Man, life is pain.
There you go! Druism! That was not the new segment that we teased in the first half. That was a surprise bonus segment, guys.
That's Big Tim specific.
You are welcome. All right, my plugs. Crespo Diso on Twitter. I am Chris Crespo on Twitter. Are the two Crespo Diso accounts. And then PFT Media on Twitter, if you're into Twitter. If it's Facebook, we have a Cinema Crespo Diso Facebook group, which started because of Tim.
Seriously, I'm not a big social media guy, but
that's the only way,
that page is a lot of fun.
And it's the only way Drew participates in any social media stuff. And I it's right there in the bio. Group started because of Big Tim Murphy. Shout out to my man right here. You are the best, baby.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
It's time. Here we go.
Guys, Facebook Cinema Crespo Diso and PFT Media Cinema Crespo Diso. Join those groups. They're a lot of fun. And you can stay up to date on what we're doing. Drew Sacogwin versus the world. Here we go, guys. We started fresh last week. Drew, you are 1-0. So you get to go first. In this week's game, which, gentlemen, I entitled, very simple. We've done this before. Real or fake? I'm going to give you a movie title. You tell me if it's a real movie or a fake movie.
I hate this shit.
And
they name them such weird bullshit nonsense.
And I will tell you, all the fake movies are from like TV shows or other movies.
Ooh, okay. Well, that might actually help out.
That might help you a little bit. And I also did that because one time when we had Nick Sciarrabba in here, I'll never forget this. I feel bad about it actually. I did a real or fake, but I did the fake movies. I made them up. And then I took myself so pink that as I read the fake ones, I was laughing over the fake ones. And then Nick was like, fake. He knew right away. And then as I'm doing the game, I felt bad. I was like, oh, I'm blowing it. So here we go.
All right.
Drew, you got to go first. Group A or Group B? You know how it goes.
Group B.
Group B. Here we go. Real or fake. Number one, Breaking Wind.
Fake.
Real.
TC, and there we go. Soap again.
Number two, Simple Jack.
Fake.
Correct.
That's from
Thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right, number three, Action Doctor.
Real.
It's fake. That's one of the fake movies from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. One of the Chris Evans movies. Number four, Santa with Muscles.
Real.
That is real. It's a Hulk Hogan movie from the 90s. And number five, The Night the Reindeer Died.
Fake.
That is correct. That's the movie they made in Scrooge. Bill Murray's Scrooge.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it was from Scrooge.
All right. So you got 3 out of 5. Not bad.
Seriously, better than I thought I was going to do.
That's not bad. All right, Tim. Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, Simon Says. S-E-Z. Simon real. Says. That is real.
Horror movie.
No, it's a Dennis Rodman movie.
Oh, word.
But it still was real, though. You got that part right. Number two.
That is a horror movie still.
Is that where Simon
Time actually, yeah.
I wasn't wrong. It wasn't right, but it wasn't wrong.
Yeah. Simon Time spells his Simon Says the same way.
He's probably secretly a fan.
It's problematic. All right.
Number two, The Hottie and the Naughty.
That is real.
That is.
Paris Hilton.
That's correct.
Notoriously awful.
Yes, that's correct.
I used to own a DVD copy of it. I bought it at Big Lots. $50.
Of course.
Because I wanted to have Bad Movie Night at my house.
Oh, there you go.
And have people come watch
it. That's amazing. You have a whole story behind it. That's incredible. All right, here we go. Number three, Ass the Movie.
Fake.
Correct. That's from Idiocracy.
I watched that again recently.
Idiocracy. All right, there we go.
We're living in Idiocracy.
We're tied up. Number four, Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2.
Real.
That is correct. And number five, Werewolf Women of the SS.
Real.
That is fake. That is from Grindhouse.
Yeah.
That's one of the fake trailers from Grindhouse. But still, four out of five.
That's Ursula She-Wolf of the SS.
Yes, exactly. Which is, I think you were spoofing a little bit, but still.
And I thought that's what you did. Still, I beat fucking.
Congratulations. Yeah. Good job, Tim. All right, putting Drew at a record of 1-1.
Have y'all ever seen Ursula She-Wolf of the SS?
No, I have.
No.
The only time I've ever actually seen it be able to be streamed was on one of those weird Roku apps for World War II movies.
Oh, really?
Somehow it was on there.
Interesting.
Because, you know, they have the weird Roku channels.
Yeah, Roku's strange. Yeah.
Roku gets...
You know how Roku started?
No.
It was Netflix developed it.
Okay.
It was supposed to be their Netflix set-top device. Yeah. And then they decided to not go the hardware route, and they sold it off to another company, and it became Roku.
Shit.
And it's still around, so it worked.
Roku is working. I want one again. I need to get one.
Do you? Yeah. I need to figure out something. I'm in a transition.
I have a Chromecast, but I don't like it as much as I thought I would.
Why not? Because I was thinking of getting a Chromecast.
It's too weird to get stuff to play on it sometimes.
It's fidgety.
Yeah, and I have to have my phone for it.
True. Okay. Oh, I have a phone and a tablet, though.
I know, but you have to have one of them charged at all times to have that happen.
Yeah, it's true. And it's an Amazon Fire tablet. They're going to give you a Chromecast.
They will. Oh, hell yeah, they will.
Fire
they want you.
Because they want me.
But they want you to use an Amazon.
Well, I have an Amazon TV coming, actually, so I guess then getting a Chromecast for my Amazon tablet and my Amazon TV would not be smart.
Are you going to have the, you going to jailbreak that?
Oh, probably not, you know, because I do, it's, you know, I'm not into stealing movies.
It's an asshole move.
Yeah, well, I do want to say that, but then my dad has a Kodi box, so is my dad an asshole? I guess so. But he's been into stealing cable since the 90s. He's an old school stealing cable kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm down with that. Am I? I don't know. If I can help it, yeah, I would try not to steal. I did go through a short period of downloading movies and torrenting stuff, maybe for less than a year. And I'll even date it. It was right when They put out X-Men Origins Wolverine, okay. And they put out the work
the
print.
The work print. I remember watching that with you.
Do you remember that?
No.
It was crazy. The work print got released of X-Men Origins Wolverine. So, like, the opening credit sequence, it was all, like, the FX were all wireframe FX. So it's Hugh Jackman, but then everything behind him is gray and white.
And then a lot of the effects at the end with the final Deadpool.
The final Deadpool was not finished. Yeah, it was not complete. A lot of incomplete effects. And it was fascinating to watch a movie that was still in progress.
Yeah.
It actually made it worthwhile watching that movie, because otherwise that thing is a hunk of shit.
Well, yeah, but because the way we watched it was, like you said, fascinating.
It was fascinating. Yeah. Oh my god, look at
So this is how it's done.
But then I saw a little bit of it again on FX, and there's a scene where Hugh Jackman is in the bathroom and his adamantium claws come out for the first time, and this is a completed finished movie, and it looked like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I was like, wow, those are cartoon claws. That is wild, wild stuff. Guys, let's get into the actual segments of the show, starting with Drew. Are you ready for this?
Maybe.
Are you ready for this? Burn, 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 burn. No, here we go. Here it is. Okay.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Billy D. Stuff is
heavy. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, time for Billy D's Death, Death the Movies. Drewster Cogburn, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Bill?
I played a bunch of catch-up this week and have been adding them to the hashtag Crespo Hundo.
Yes, if you're watching new movies in 2018, follow along with us, hashtag Crespo Hundo. And review the movie real quick, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And we're all playing along, we're having a good time.
I saw I, Tonya at the Williamsburg Cinema, and I liked it.
Okay.
I still wonder why it needed a movie after seeing it, though. It's well made, extremely well acted, and has a good pace. It's just, everyone sucks. The characters are all unlikable pieces of shit, so it's hard to really find a foothold as a viewer when you just want everyone to go off screen, and so someone likable will show up.
Sure.
Characters this unlikable only appear in horror movies, so I kept hoping someone would get decapitated with figure skate. I caught The Disaster Artist at Syndicated by my house.
We talk about this.
And it was a good screening. Lots of The Room fans in attendance. I don't really dig The Room like a lot of people.
Okay.
Its ineptness doesn't charm me. But I found this to be fun. Everyone is great. It's Franco's best film to date.
Yeah.
But I wish they would have showed the post-production phase of The Room's production. Post is always chaos, and I can't imagine Tommy being graceful during that. Oh, can you imagine Tommy Wiseau in the editing bay?
The editor? Oh, that would be wild. But Billy is also talking from the perspective of a person who he makes his living doing a lot of like editing stuff and working. So he wants to see it.
Yeah, well, why not?
Yeah, sure. It's his perspective. Yeah, that makes sense.
I stayed in last night and rented The Houses October Built 2.
Oh, the first one was a hunk of shit. It was one of the worst movies. I did it. We did it on my short-lived YouTube series.
What was that called again?
Low Rent, No Rent Horror Review.
There you go. Yes, The Houses That October Built
2.
Jesus Christ.
It was a lot of fun.
What?
This Bill.
Oh yeah,
Bill loves garbage horror movies.
Okay. Yeah, he's the type of guy. Them. He'll find the little things that are good, and he'll like really latch onto them. Mm-hmm. He's seen every horror movie there is.
Pretty much. It was a lot of fun, but failed the found footage rules pretty spectacularly at the end. Basically, it falls apart in the third act, but it was still enjoyable to watch.
Okay.
I like that they interview lots of non-actors and go to the actual scare houses. When these films work, they are actually good, but their failures are glaring. Stay cool, Billy D.
Billy D, he's our homie. Hit him up on Twitter, all over the internet, at I Love Blood. I was going to do this between our segments, but I'll have to remind me to show you before you leave, Tim. He's the one who's helping him and Drew over here, and I'm also roping in Steve Etchy. We're working on the...
We're nice.
The
design team.
There's also magicvector.com. We could just put it in there and all that, but that's...
No, we're going to get you something better that's going to be more customized.
All right, good.
So I can show you what we have so far, and then you can give us some direction.
And now your segments of your podcast, not working about my merch.
That's part of it.
Okay. Buddy, if
your merch is part of the podcast.
You're part of the PFT Media, man.
I understand.
Your profile blows up. It's going to help us all out. And if you need to sell some shirts, I want to help you sell some shirts, man. I want to help you out. That's what we're here for. It's a support system. Billy D is the man. Thank you, Bill. Drew.
Chris.
You ready to keep reading?
Sure.
All right. Where is it?
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Populi.
All right, here we go. You email us, cinemacrespedisto@gmail.com, and we'll read it on the show. For example, Drew.
Oh, we got an email from Scott.
What's
and
up?
He's reviewing
Scott
Gerald's game.
Gerald's game.
For the Crespo Hundo.
It's part of his Crespo Hundo. Yes, awesome. There you go. And Gerald's game you can find on Netflix.
The premise is dope. A middle-aged couple, a secluded spice-up-your-sex-life weekend, the wife handcuffed to the bed, then husband has heart attack and dies right on top of her.
Dope.
Wow.
Short story's very good.
Is it? I haven't read it.
This movie could go a dozen different ways from there, and boy does it. For a minute, I thought it would be a gruesome horror flick. Then maybe it's a psychological farce. Then it's a MacGyver episode? And that's just 40 minutes into it.
Huh.
There's still an hour to go. It gets even weirder after that, and I loved it. Every damn minute of it. What a trip. This was a crazy, creepy, awesome movie, but then there's a 10-minute denouement that completely undermines everything.
Aww.
That was so fucking good about this movie. And just like that, this went from being an unexpected favorite film of the year to being a horrible fucking disappointment.
Whoa!
What a goddamn shame.
Whoa! Really?
Two stars. Hashtag Crespo Hundo 2 out of 100.
That's 2 out of 100.
Take care, guys. Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Damn. Have you had a chance to see it? You read
no.
it? No. You haven't had a chance to see it. I want to know what this ending is. Do you remember the short story has some crazy twist ending?
Yes.
Hmm.
But I don't remember it right now.
Okay, but you know it had something.
It's always a Stephen... Stephen King always has a fucking twist.
He usually does. Either that or a very dour, open ending.
Or so straightforward bad.
That yeah, like for the end of The Mist, it's different from the movie in that the people do get out of the supermarket, but then they just wander a wasteland of Earth that is roaming.
Yeah.
Monsters are roaming forever, and they're done. They're just done for. The movie ends with like, oh, there's an army. Like, the guy
the
just
movie was
up.
The better one. The movie
actually,
had a better ending.
Because it's more of a gut punch. Like,
it is. It's like, also, like, these movies that have those creatures show up, the fucking A-10 has a 30mm cannon with depleted uranium rounds.
Oh!
Like, Godzilla, I want a Godzilla movie where Godzilla gets hurt by the fucking gunfire.
Sure. Well, because Godzilla's so big. Especially new Godzilla's 300 feet tall.
Yeah, but it's still... It's going to go into his skin. You can bleed him like
it's still
I want him to bleed. I don't want him to like act like it's bulletproof.
Original 1933 King Kong got shot off a building by those biplanes and he got weak from being shot and fell off and died. Yeah, sure, absolutely. That's possible. There's precedent.
It's a goddamn depleted uranium shell.
I mean, the last Godzilla...
3 inches tall, 3 inches long.
Really, the only time Godzilla gets hurt is when he's fighting another giant monster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, now.
Monsters, the movie with the fucking director of Godzilla...
Yes.
...was like that, where it was like we had a wall to stop the monsters and shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was my...
They're recording off in Mexico.
It was my biggest complaint about fucking Pacific Rim that... You tell me a fucking tomahawk can't bring down a goddamn...
A kaiju?
Yeah, just a big elephant, basically. It's like...
It is organic. Yeah. They are an exception. They are organic creatures.
They're organic creatures, so...
They're soft and fleshy.
I want a goddamn war movie against kaiju.
They do establish in Pacific Rim that they send in fighter jets, and then they just like...
And eventually they just crash
into the monsters, you know?
And eventually... Well, they've shown ones where the airplanes do take them out.
Yeah, but I guess the monsters end up getting so big.
Yeah, but I'd love to see fucking a fight of the intruder... But about fucking kaijus.
So more of an effective human response to the monster. You know what? I'm fine with that. I would like to see that too. Because we've seen enough already of the other version of the monsters that are indestructible.
I just want to see where, you know, it's fucking us up. But it's not, we got to do this MacGuff thing.
Cloverfield gets into that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, where the army, they're battling and they hit the monster. And it's like, oh, and it turns around and it tries to run away. But then the makers of the movie established that monster is the baby.
Yeah.
They're fucking up the baby and... Anyway,
but I'm still tired of the baby being the fucking.
I agree with you.
End all be all,
because then they do that. That is now a trope too, where it's the monster. Oh, it's a baby all along. Here comes the mother.
Yeah.
Is that it for the Vox Populi?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, then it's time for the most important segment in all of podcasting.
Check out Justin
the movie
Timberlake
news.
And Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during
and
their
therapy
romantic
opens up about
getaway.
Navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars. Fair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the Biebs?
Guys, did you know that Gwyneth Paltrow has been seen with her new boyfriend? Out? Oh my goodness, so fascinating. Also, celebrity beach bods. It's the winter time, so they're working on them. Don't worry about it. But first, it's time for a Justin Bieber update. Tim, what's up with the Biebs?
He's still being Justin Bieber.
Yeah, Justin Bieber still being Justin Bieber.
He's actually into this weird culty church now, though.
Yes. He has one of these, like, isn't that one of these charismatic pastors?
Yeah, prosperity preachers. Yeah. Yes.
That guy looks like a child molester.
He's supposedly given $10 million to this church.
To the church, really? That's why they want him so bad, because he's got the money.
He got the money, yeah.
Yeah. Drew just took off his headphones in shock.
It's a real thing. I know y'all probably weren't expecting a real Justin Bieber update.
No, I love when we get real Bieber updates. I know for a fact that this pastor, for the last year or so, Bieber, like anyone he's been dating, and now it's Selena Gomez again, he takes them on church dates, and he introduces them to the pastor.
It's all tax-free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they got that money tax free. Bieber paid taxes, but not the church. Before Drew's hung up on this $10 million.
There should be a Bieber tax.
There should be a Bieber tax just for existing. Yeah. He is now, all his dates are to churches, and he is like
so one freaky drug sex church. Is that what's going on?
No, it's a prosperity church, like prosperity you said. Preacher. Just like what's his name, Crenflo Dollar. Just like that guy. Mm-hmm. The Lord wants you to give us money so I can buy a new jet.
Yeah.
So I can preach his word around the world. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Money.
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 Yeah.
Oh, money. You talking about that money? That's how church starts every day with that sound effect. Box office news. Not box office news. Movie news. I have one story because it's hysterical. Right. Jean-Claude Van Damme showed up at a gym with a bunch of UFC guys, right? And this story was told on another podcast, which I won't say the name of because screw them. And this is a funny story. I'm just going to do the quote. I've got this guy in with me, and he's showing the stretches. He is Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme is showing stretches on Chris, is another fighter, and he is just sweating all over Chris. So Van Damme was like working out with these guys, and he was just sweating on everyone. He's probably an alcoholic. Allegedly. Our buddy Rob is like, Jean, he had this towel dangling on his front, and he kept using these towels or throwing them towels, like, wipe the sweat off, you're dripping all over these guys. And he would go on and show stretches on me, and then Chris would stretch me, and Jean would help me stretch in these weird positions. So this is what we're doing, warming up for some kicks. So like 40 minutes of that, he was stretching these guys out for 40 minutes. I'm looking at Rob like, my hips are hurting, I'm sore from stretching. Finally, Jean-Claude Van Damme starts showing kicks, but he's going all over the place. He's going from stretching to kicks to, you know, he just gets really excited. You could tell he was very excited. He started throwing kicks on Chris and threw this fucking fast kick. Like, he came up, I don't know what it's called. It's the one he always does. He brings his foot up real quick, then brings it down. A hook, kind of. Blah, blah, blah. He says he started toe stabbing the other guy, Chris. Like, just poking him with his foot. He toe stabbed Chris like 2 or 3 times. Chris was in pain, and I'm shaking my head. This is the fighter. All right, here we go. He says, there's one of me where I want you to show this kick. He does it 3 or 4 times. He says, I was back against the cage, and he started playing with me, acting like he was going to throw some kicks, and he started throwing hands, like slapping at me. I was like, what the hell? Then he fucking kicked me with that hook kick right in the teeth.
Oh.
He kicked him for real in the mouth.
Oh.
The guy says, motherfucker, I was pissed. I was so mad. I looked over at the other guy. I looked over at Jean, and I was like, Rob, keep this motherfucker away from me. He kicked me in the teeth. He kicked me in the teeth just playing around. Like, how many times have we punched at each other and we could pull our punches? This dude just straight kicked me in the teeth. I'm not going to lie. He has some fast ass kicks. But when I was demonstrating, he showed me to get it right. Then I put my foot down and he kicked me right in the teeth. I went black. And then apparently he says Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's about to kick his ass. Jean-Claude Van Damme drops to his knees and starts crying. And he starts going, my champion. And he's like crying to the guy, but please don't beat me up. And he's saying, my champion. And he literally crying to the point where the guy got awkward, felt bad, and just walked out of the building. He's like, I can't. Just get the guy away from me.
And that's how you don't get your ass kicked.
That's how you don't. By getting on your knees and saying, look into your heart. So Jean-Claude Van Damme, don't let him practice kicking you at the face because he will kick you in the face. Jean-Claude Van Damme is bad at this because he was sued for the movie Cyborg for blinding a stuntman because he had a fake knife and they were doing a fight scene and he got too close to the guy and like he sliced a dude's eye and he blinded him. Got sued. This is early 90s, maybe even late 80s, early 90s. And he lost, obviously, because he was negligent. And so don't be careful working with that guy. He's ripped on cocaine, allegedly, in Tim's humble opinion. Yeah. We teased it. A new segment we're only going to do with Big Tim Murphy. And here is the intro music. I'm going to use this one. What are we calling it? Learner's Permit Cinema?
Yeah. It was going to be a spinoff podcast I was going to do one day, but I'm never going to end up doing it.
So now we're going to make it an official segment of Cinema Crespity. So yeah! Let me shut that up.
The idea is it's a movie that has to be at least old enough to drive.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Gotcha.
So nice. It has to at least be able to get its learner's permit. Because some states...
So we're talking 15, 16?
Minimum 15 to 18.
I think 18, give or take. Yeah, so we are picking the movie from 2001.
Yes.
Which makes it 16 years old. Mm-hmm. This movie can now drive.
Yes, it can.
With can now drive.
At least with a permit in most states.
Yeah, because, well, in now it's, Florida, so it's 2018 now. Mm-hmm. So it's 17 years, guys. It can drive. It has a driver's license.
Yeah! We are going to read the movie How High!
How High!
Yeah! All right, Tim. What makes you think about the movie How High? When do you remember seeing it for the first time?
I saw it the first time probably in 2003 or so on DVD or so. I had some cousins who were real big into black culture.
Okay.
I love early aughts black comedy.
Method Man, Red Man.
Yeah, sure.
One of my favorites. Those two dudes are very charismatic.
Wu-Tang was still popping at the time, big.
So I saw it forever ago. Okay. And then I got high and saw it on HBO Go and watched it in its natural environment.
Oh, recently? Okay.
It's good.
In the last
couple weeks.
I mean, it is exactly what it claims to
be. Exactly. It is not highbrow cinema. It's Laurel and Hardy, but they're black and they smoke pot.
I was going to say like black Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong. It's like black Cheech and Chong.
But you just said something interesting. So the second time you watched, on the rewatch, you were high. So not high the first time.
No, I was
high the second time.
High the second time.
Did that help?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris.
Okay. Remember, also identify with some of the jokes more.
If you got, remember Chris, study high, take the test high, get high scores.
Get high scores. That's right. That's hysterical. Do you remember your first time seeing it?
Okay, I was...
And were you high?
Yeah, okay, of course. Baked out of my fucking skull.
Yeah.
It was 2001 when the movie actually came out. I was freshman at college, and they came out and handed out a bunch of free passes for a special screening.
Did you have to go to a theater, or was it on campus?
No, went to Waterford Lakes.
Okay. That's how I saw Jackass 3D, like 2003. Yeah. It was a UCF, essentially, screening. Yeah. Man, good times.
I was higher than I've probably been in a very long time.
For that movie, then obviously really enjoyed high. It.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, it's
a fun movie.
It's like you said, it is. It's very lowbrow. It's weed comedy. You know, it's this, that, the other. It's all Mary Jane this and blah 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 that.
All weed jokes.
No, exactly.
But it's a kind of movie they don't make anymore. It's a $15 million budget.
Exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't have to have. You know, you could tell it had a huge budget because it only had like five sets.
Yep. Yeah, it was out of college.
Yeah, it was all of the one college. And, you know. They're supposed to be at Harvard.
Yeah.
And some,
obviously, it wasn't shot there.
And,
it was obviously not shot there.
Yeah. And Lisa Turtle hadn't destroyed herself.
Yeah, Lark Voorhees was in it, and she still looked so cute. I love Lark Voorhees. I remember seeing this movie. I was, it was just out on DVD, so it was 2001, and I went back up north to visit family, and then I was hanging out with a friend, and we went to her college, which was some like crazy tech vocational college, an engineering school. So they explained to me the whole golden pussy syndrome, where apparently at the school, some very average looking girls were like on a pedestal because it was an engineering school. I was like, oh, interesting. Yeah, that's fascinating. And, we ended up at some frat party. Only frat party I've ever been to my entire life was at this engineering school. They were playing beer pong. I was like, this sucks. And then in the living room, I ended up crashing in the living room, 4 a.m, trying to fall asleep. The only two things I remember, watching the music video for David Bowie's Heroes.
Okay.
First time I ever saw that. I don't know. What was even on? Okay. I don't know. I don't even know. Why was it on? And then somehow that transitioned to How High. And their living room, it was just like six rows of couches, three couches each, facing this big TV, and I just picked a couch, laid on it, and I watched How High, and then I eventually fell asleep, and it was a great movie.
It was a fun movie. It's a fun movie. It knows what it is. And I like their sitcom they had.
That is.
Oh man, I forgot about when they were moving in a mansion or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were in Fox. Yes. Young Fox is short lived, 8 episodes.
Yeah, I think I only saw the first episode.
Yeah, it did not get positioned well.
I do not even remember this even existing.
Yeah, a sitcom.
Yeah, Method Man and Red Man, right?
Huh.
And this was, I would say, 10 years ago.
Oh, man. Longer
maybe
than that.
longer. Shortly after
was,
How High?
Yeah, it was like 2004.
Yeah, because that remember they were a hot duo for a little. They did a couple albums
for
together.
Those early 2000s. Yeah. Redman, he's kind of like the Killer Bees. He's not part of Wu-Tang, but he's like Wu-Tang adjacent, yeah. Mm-hmm. Close enough, yeah. You know. Redman also still living in the same house,
yes.
That he lived
I saw
in.
The, I saw
in,
the
in that
the
Cribs ring, episode. Yeah. First of all, I remember seeing that Cribs episode for the first time.
Laughing my ass off.
I lived at Staten Island at that time. I'd be like, that's like 5 minutes from my friend Frank's house. I know where this place exactly is. And then now that he still lives there, oh, goddamn. Mm-hmm. God bless you, Redman. You're the man. All right. That was our first segment. That was our first time with Big Tim.
There we go.
Learner's Permit Cinema.
How old high? Enough to read, man. How's it old enough to drive?
We remember when we saw it the first time. It's now old enough to drive. And you saw it recently. Still good enough.
It's still good. It's still good.
All right. Very cool. You know what? I'm going to rewatch it. I haven't seen it.
Might as well.
Back. You're not missing any. It's like if you're looking for something you can do while you're playing on your phone.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not paying attention. It's not a movie where it's an easy watch. It's relaxing.
Look, everything can't be Dunkirk.
Sometimes you just want to relax. Order pizza.
There you go. Get high.
Get high, order pizza. It's one of those movies.
There you go.
I'm a big fan of that.
Fantastic. I'm into it, too. All right, my man. Let's wrap this thing up. Let's put the wheels down.
We give you the questions. You give us the answer.
Time to land this fucker.
Time for the lightning round.
Here we go, Tim. You know how this goes. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. I need 10 answers. You ready, buddy?
Yeah.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, what does sadness taste like?
Macaroni and cheese, but not good macaroni and cheese.
Oh, bad macaroni. Oh, that's a great answer. Number two, is Halloween worth it?
Yes.
Number three, name three soups.
Oh, tomato soup,
mm-hmm.
Lobster bisque,
okay.
Potato soup.
Oh, wow. All right. Danny Aiello.
I'm not sure if I ever knew who Danny Aiello was.
Did you see Hudson Hawk?
Yes.
Bruce Willis's friend, that Italian guy. He's also in A Bronx Tale.
They quit making those movies.
They quit. Okay.
They quit making those kinds of movies.
The theme of the show. They quit making those movies. All right, thank you. Number four. What? Oh, that's number four. Number five. Where is the cake boss?
Somewhere better than me.
Number six. Why is New Jersey tolerated?
It has some value to it. It gave us Springsteen, who also is just basically pretending to be a working class guy.
It's very successfully, too, for decades.
Yeah, he's never had a job. He even admits it.
He's like, I'm blue collar. Number seven. Will the South rise again?
No.
Number eight. What's up with that North Star?
It's up there.
Number nine. Canada or Mexico?
Fuck. With money or without money?
Oh, the question doesn't specify. I'm sorry.
Oh, fuckers. Canada.
All right. And finally, number 10. Is any of this normal?
What's normal?
Any of this. What is normal?
What is normal?
Oh, okay, 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 good, good stuff. Great, here we go. Drew, two bags, green bag, polka dot bag. Which one, Tim, do you maybe want to go home with today?
Fuck, all right. Let me have fucking green.
All right, fucking green.
Because we brought up green throughout the show. We talked about the green shirts
and the green.
Mr. Tim, right. You may get to go home with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles play pack. Grab and go.
Shit.
It has 4 crayons.
Speaking of green.
25 stickers and a 24-page fun-size coloring book.
Oh, shit.
That's like stuff to do for minutes on end.
Also, a 100-piece puzzle of a cowboy on a horse.
All right. He's a bucking bronco.
A bucking bronco puzzle. 100 pieces.
We got a 20-pack of round balloons. They're 5 all inches.
Right. All right.
You gotta have a party.
All right.
We have this is a CD, not a DVD. Stuck with Green.
That's the artist.
Dull Unconscious Man is the name of the album.
All right.
It looks like it was Stuck with Green is an I don't know.
Local artist. Local artist. It's a comedy music, I think. What do you got there?
Give me the fucking thing.
Look at that.
That looks like metal.
It's comedy.
That looks like metal.
No, it's funny.
You also have Cinema Christmas Special bootleg editions of Behind Enemy Lines and The Adventures of Robin Hood from 1938.
The Errol Flynn.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's the Errol Flynn one.
You see the fucking blood cup? I took that in film class.
That's a legitimate good movie, yeah.
Also, you got yourself a little, what do they call this? They call it a puffer eyeball. It's like the old squishies.
Oh, there you go for your stress, buddy.
And a whole bunch of PFT Media stickers. And, oh, look, the Princess Bride magnet with,
Sean Wallace Shawn.
Inconceivable.
Yeah. Look at all that stuff. The CD fell on the floor. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Or
we can put all this away.
As you know, we put all that away. You don't see it again in the city. You take all we have in the box. That's right.
And you know, the thing is, you don't tell your audience what's in the box unless the guest picks it.
Here's the thing. If the guest doesn't pick the box, we don't let the guest know what was in the box.
We take the box out back and we throw it into a wood chipper. Contents and all.
I know you fucking savages.
We are brutal. Like that would. I mean, that bag, man. It's
I know
a good
that bag is cool as shit.
It's a good bag. Don't feel like you need to make your decision based on the for content.
I know. Listen,
it's for you.
It's for me.
For you.
I know this, but as a listener, of things, I hate when there's unresolved what's in the box.
Okay.
I hate it. It's more of a. It's more for me than it is.
What if I told you it was Gwyneth Paltrow's head?
You understand the position?
And then I would be really concerned. Because I really didn't sign up to be an accessory and all this stupid shit.
And also, you didn't see that news report where Gwyneth Paltrow's body was found headless.
I really just you're real good at this, apparently, because you've got a celebrity's head and no one else has found out yet.
And we're podcasting
and
podcasting, normal.
It's just, I'm going to leave here and I'm not going to snitch. But I am going to fucking flip when they come to me. I'm not going to call the law on you. But goddamn it, there's Gwyneth Paltrow's head in that. I'm going to admit that you had Gwyneth Paltrow's head in there.
You will flip.
And I will say, the first thing I'll say is, you need to talk to my attorney, Joseph. Call him right now, please. If I'm not free to go, I need my attorney. Anytime I see a police officer, I'm going to say that after I deal with you and Gwyneth Paltrow's fucking gooping in the goddamn box.
Gwyneth Paltrow's goop head. Oh my goodness. All right, well, now we know Drew. Tim won't snitch.
He won't snitch. But he will flip.
No snitch will flip.
I will have my attorney will broker the deal to make sure, because I wasn't involved with any of this.
We'll get
Hunchuck
in there. That's good for a tombstone. Didn't snitch. Did flip. I take by that, Tim. Then you will go with
what's
in
the box. I'll go with
the
mystery box.
All right,
go
ahead and pop the top and let people know what's inside. Oh. And it's not snakes jumping out at you. Don't worry about that.
Oh, what is this? It's a Batman cup.
It's a Batman cup!
You
got a sweet-ass Batman cup. It's a plastic cup with Batman on it. That was a pretty nice. It's actually a kind of nice Batman cup.
It's not a bad Batman cup.
It's not a terrible price.
It's none of the animated Batmans, but it is an animated Batman.
It's like this. If you look behind you, I have a Superman back there. That's not like any specific Superman.
But it's Superman.
And it is DC branded Superman, but it's still generic Superman.
It's just like they didn't want to spend the money to get one of the Batmans.
Yeah, this isn't Adam West.
But it's not even one of the animated Batmans either.
No,
it's none of the Batmans and all of the Batmans.
But it's still official DC Batman.
Because it's got the abs of the newer ones, the cape of some of the 90s ones.
Yeah.
He's got a yellow utility belt like back in the day.
And the yellow logo. Yeah. Yellow black logo. Like the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman.
And he's got the arm spikes.
Yes. Like the new Batman.
The new Batman.
That's a weird ass Batman. Tim, thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
You're the man. I appreciate it. We love you. Drew, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
And everyone, thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember to read more books, break up the big banks, be excellent to each other. Free Momia Abu Jamal today. And also, most importantly, what was it? No hair. What was it? Do you remember? We forgot. It was off mic and we forgot. Damn it. Jury forgot. We blew it.
A PFT Media production.